Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich and Christ. This show is like no other show that you're going to hear in Christian media today, because I don't talk about anything that has to do with what you are required to do in order for God to do for you. This is a 30 minutes of true grace. It's not grace plus law. It's an opportunity for me to share with you some of the things that God has been speaking to me about concerning your real life and what he's doing in my real life. Right now, there's a lot of people that are hurting in the body of Christ, and they're turning to all kinds of different things to find relief and to find hope. And a lot of the stuff that they're turning to, it has a temporal effect. It lasts for a while, but then it ends up causing more problems. And one of those things is what Paul calls in 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4, and Galatians 1, 6 through 8, he calls it the different gospel. And there is a different gospel out there. I've been around, I've been on this journey for about 35 years, and I started out with fresh out of rehab in 1981 with a zeal for God, and I wanted to have everything that God had for me. And in fact, I prayed a prayer, and I said, Lord, bring me to the end of myself and give me a revelation of who I am in Christ. And that was a prescribed prayer that was given to me by a dear brother. When I came out of rehab, about a year or two out of rehab, a brand new baby in the Lord, didn't have any idea what that prayer was going to do, but God has been answering that prayer over the last 30 plus years. And when you pray something like that, what God does is he moves in to whatever your life is, and he begins to show you what real life is. And that's part of the reason that this show is called Real Life with Rich in Christ, because there's a real Christianity, and then there's a Christianity that the Bible says is a form of godliness. It looks and acts and it smells like the real thing, but it's not the real thing, because it doesn't bring you into freedom. It brings you into a prison of performance-based religion. And so, as I started out in my walk with the Lord, I ended up doing what everybody else does. I ended up going to church and listening to the leadership and trying to follow the leadership. And then I had a desire right away to be in the quote-unquote ministry. And I tried several times throughout my earlier years between, so when I got saved, when I surrendered to Christ in treatment, I was 22, and I probably kept on trying to be in professional ministry up until I was about 30, somewhere between 30 and 35. And I had opportunities. There were three different opportunities that God shut the door on. And now looking back, I can see why he did that. Because the message that most churches preach has to do with your performance in some way, shape, or form. And let me explain what I mean by that. I'm talking about, you know, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about acceptance and receiving your acceptance from something that you have to do rather than who you are. Jesus came along at just the right time to expose the yeast of the Pharisees. Okay? Jesus' ministry started, and his opposition wasn't the people in the world. He loved the people in the world. Our opposition today aren't the people in the world. The people in the world could care less about God. They're going about their way. They don't take a thought for God. God's thinking about them all the time. but our opposition are the people who continue to promote this perversion, Paul's words, not mine, of the truth. And all it is taking believers into a deeper bondage in their trying to live for God. Because everybody wants everything God has for them. Everybody wants to see God move in their life. It's just that there's a wide path that leads to destruction and there's a narrow path that leads to life. And the Bible says, Jesus said, few there are who find that path. And the reason few find it is because they go to the institutional churches to try to find it, and the leadership hasn't found it. And the reason they haven't found it is because their seminaries, Freudian slip there, their seminaries aren't teaching it because they don't know it. And here's what it is. It's what Paul calls the message of the cross. In Philippians 2:13, Paul says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us, it's the power of God. Well, what is the message of the cross? Well, look at Jesus. What was the message of the cross for him? The message of the cross, plain and simple, is found in Matthew 16:25. If you lose your life, you find it. And if you hang on to your life, what you call life, you don't find that life that Jesus is talking about. You give it up. So one has to stay and one has to go. That's what he's saying. And you don't get both of them. You don't get to live for yourself and live for God or allow God to live his life in and through you. That's not the way we were designed. God specifically designed us as the vessel, the temple, the branch, the lamp, the container of Christ. We contain him. That's what John 15 is all about. Jesus goes off and he talks about the vine-branch union. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, and that's what he's talking about. I live in you, you live in me. There's a union relationship that we have, just like the branch abides in the vine. All of the life of the branch is the life of the vine. The branch doesn't have a separate life of its own. And yet, if you listen to any modern-day preacher today, they're talking about Jesus, and they're talking about the Father as though he is a separate entity who is separated from us in a place called heaven. And at some point in time, if we toe the religious line, the quote-unquote Christian line, at some point in time, we can reap the reward of this Father that is separated from us in this place called heaven. And that's where Paul comes along and completely destroys the whole thought of a separate God. And, you know, when you look at the Apostle Paul, you know, who was Saul when he got knocked off of his, onto his backside, on the road to Damascus, you know, I mean, this guy called himself a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, circumcised on the eighth day, perfect in the law, aspiring to be a high priest, trained by Gamaliel. I mean, this guy was the epitome of performance-based religion. If you want to know what performance-based religion is, take a look at Saul, okay? And he's, as he's laying on his backside, he looks up and he hears a voice saying, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Because Jesus is in union with his church. And if you're touching his body, you're touching him. And he says, Lord, not in the sense that we know Jesus is Lord. Lord, the authority that just is doing this to me, And he's asking who he is. This is a man who has served God his entire life. By the time he was 8 years old, he knew the first He knew the first five books of the Bible, memorized them, because that's what a good Pharisee did. And so he knew God, but he didn't know God. He knew about God, but he didn't have a relationship with Christ. And I wrote an article the other day based on that scripture. I think it's in Matthew 7, where it says, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do all this stuff in your name? And Jesus' answer to them is, depart from me, I never knew you, you doer of iniquity. And the church has interpreted that as some kind of an eternal judgment, because all the church can see is judgment. All the church can see is separation, because they don't know grace. They know a philosophy of unmerited favor that is self-serving that they call grace. But grace is the person of Jesus Christ. For the grace of God has appeared to all men. The grace of God who brings salvation to all men has appeared. That's what it says. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Because our relationship with God, our personal relationship with God, as far as God is concerned, is the only thing that matters. Everything else is secondary. Ministry, whatever you end up doing, whatever you're doing is a ministry to Christ if you're his. It doesn't matter. If you're driving a truck, if you're a nurse, if you're working at a McDonald's, none of it matters. There's no separation or division as far as God sees. If you're aspiring to ministry, you're aspiring to serve. And the only way you can serve is when God takes you to the end of you so he can serve in and through you in the way that he ordained from the foundation of the world, then you serve. And there's no other way you can serve. And that's why the organized institutional church wants nothing to do with the message of the cross, because the message of the cross requires your life. I wrote this article the other day, and I said, you know, listen to the words. I never knew you. But the church is so caught up in the performing that they've taken that and they've twisted it and they've skewed it. And it's very simple. Jesus is saying, listen, if you're not taking the time to lay down your life like I've instructed you all through the Bible, you've got example after example of men who laid, the men and women who laid down their lives. I mean, if you can't see that and you cannot see the value in my relationship with you, then we just don't have much to say to each other. So go and do your iniquity. And your iniquity isn't what you think it is. It's not acts of sin. Iniquity is where your heart is where your treasure is. That's the only thing God's ever looked at is your heart. He doesn't care what you're doing right now. He doesn't care what you did 5 seconds ago. All he wants is your whole heart. That's all it's about. So he says, if you want to go do Christianity, if you want to go do your iniquity, go keep doing it. But if you really want to know me, if you really want to have a real relationship with me, if you really want to get past your Phariseeism, if you really want to go beyond the law, then get to know me. He says in Matthew 10:28, he lets us know who he is. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You're carrying around a heavy yoke. I remember years ago, I was when my kids were little, we used to go to flea markets alongside the road. And we stopped at this flea market. And there was this big wooden thing on this table. And I mean, it was thick wood. And I tried to lift it up, and I couldn't lift it up. And the guy said it was a yoke that was used for, like, oxen or water buffalo, where it went around the neck of two animals so that they would plow or whatever they were doing in a straight line. And so Jesus says, you've got a yoke around you that's called trying to do something for me to love you. You've got a performance-based yoke around your neck. And he says, I want to exchange that for my yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is I love you exactly as you are, and I couldn't love you anymore. My yoke is I will never leave you or forsake you, no matter what you do or what you don't do. I love you simply because I love you. That's his yoke. And like so many other verses in the Bible, that verse has been twisted, and it's been defined by their punishing, angry, impersonal, and distant God, who's really not that thrilled about us. And if we toe the line, you know, everybody knows God loves them. Now, God is supposed to love you. God is love. We've heard that since we were little kids. God loves you. But there aren't a whole lot of people that know God likes them. Because when you like somebody, you want to spend time with them. And so how much time do you want to spend with a child-abusing, distant taskmaster who is never happy with you and is always adding another rung to your ladder? Because that's exactly the God that the institutional church, and I don't care what flag it's flying on its door, whether it's a Baptist or a Pentecostal or a charismatic or a community church or a fellowship church, whatever you want to call yourself, if you have not come to the end of yourself and you are not allowing him to live his life in and through you, you are a promoter of what Paul calls the different gospel, period. Because you have an interest in it. Because it's about you in some way, shape, or form. It's real simple. If I no longer live and Christ who lives in me, then whose life am I living? And who is living his life through me? It's not rocket science. But you won't hear the message of the cross in 99% of your churches, because the message of the cross means that that leader, whoever he or she is going to have to live by that same message of the cross. And that might mean the end of a guaranteed paycheck or the end of their pastor perks. And you're sure not going to hear 1 Corinthians 9:18 in those churches that says, I preach the gospel free of charge and I don't partake in the benefits of a preacher, because that's about as... That's not what's happening at all. And so there's a broken and beaten down body that walks into their churches every Sunday, and they've all got smiles on their faces. Because you've got to have a smile on your face, because God forbid if anybody doesn't think you're walking in the Spirit. And they're broken and they're tore up inside and they have no clue as to what to do. I talked to a young man the other day. He was ready to kill himself. And all he had was one judgment after the other against the church. And he was waiting for me to defend the church. I could tell he was waiting for me to defend it. And I was sitting there and I'm saying, you know what, Mark? You're right. You're exactly right. You're right. Because they don't know Jesus either. They know about him. They know exegesis and they know homiletics and they know all of the stuff that has to do with learning about God. And they hold to a form of godliness. What their godliness is what they do for God instead of him living his godly life in and through them, because he is the only godly one there is. And they honor him with their lips, and their hearts are far from him, because if their hearts were his heart, they wouldn't have any agenda whatsoever except for him to live his life through them, the vessel, the branch, the temple that they are. Because a temple contains God. The temple is not about the outward adornment of the temple. The branch is the channel of life for the life-giving, fruit-producing sap. And the fruit is for others. And the vessel is the container of whatever it contains. Its only purpose is to contain. And we are the vessel and the temple and the branch and the lamp of God. And that's all we are. And with that, that is our ministry. There is no other ministry. And it only requires one thing. It doesn't require a degree. It doesn't require a doctorate. It doesn't require a following. It doesn't require any of that stuff. All it requires is your whole heart and my whole heart. And God will do all the rest. And he will take you to weakness. He will take you to brokenness and loss and suffering and pain. And he will show you the purpose of that pain is not because of you, but it's so that you can learn to be compassionate towards others who are suffering in the same way. And you can allow the compassionate one to be compassionate in and through you without any distinction, without picking and choosing, because Jesus never did that. I don't know what I'm going to say on this show ever, because I don't say it. It's not canned or planned. There's nothing. I got on this show at 39 seconds I had to get on, because I was on a Skype call. And 39 seconds I had to get on. I grabbed my devotional, and I thought I'd read something out of it. I don't know what God is going to do. Today on my Facebook, I said I haven't done a show in a couple of weeks. So why don't we hear what God wants to say to us? Because I know all I am is his vessel. I know all I am is weakness personified. But you know what? If I'm not weakness personified, there's no power. Because his power is only perfected in weakness. It's not perfected in anything else. And so the weakness that you've been ignoring about yourself or running from or hiding from is the avenue and the channel and the vehicle for God's power to show up in your life. And you'll never hear that in any institutional setting. Not unless that person has come to the end of all things. Not unless that person has let God roll death in on everything that he has his hands on. His money, his relationships, his identity, his reputation, his goals, hopes, dreams, all of it has to die. Every bit of it. And guess what? You can't die to yourself. Because your new self is Christ in you. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, reckon yourself dead. That means remember you're dead. That doesn't mean try to die. That means just remember you're dead. And you don't remember you're dead because you're not operating by your mind anymore. You're operating by the mind of Christ. So the mind of Christ, if at some point you think differently, that too, he'll make it clear to you. That's real Christianity. There is no other Christianity. It's walking in the freedom because it's for freedom that he made you free. That's all it's about. He made you exactly the way he wanted you to be for humanity's sake. He wanted you to be a failure. He wanted you to be weak. He wanted you to lose that house. He wanted you to go through that bankruptcy, because how else can you be compassionate towards anybody else who's going through those same things unless you go through it first? That's called pioneering, folks. That's called being the first one to go through. That's taking the machete and going through all the woods so that everybody else can follow through on a clear path. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to use you in a pioneering way. And whatever thing that you're dealing with today, God wants to show you. His power is perfected in that. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's the only good news. And our greatest asset is our weakness. It took me 30 years to find that out. 25 to 30 years. Many of those years I walked away from anything to do with institutional religion and God. I never walked away from God. Sitting on the bar stool during my season of walking away from everything, I was sharing Christ. Because Christ in me is my life. I walked away from everything that had to do with performing. That's what I walked away from. And that was as God-ordained as anything else in my life. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. You're not going to hear a show like this anywhere in Christian media, I guarantee it. Because I have no interest in this at all. I'm not asking you for anything. In fact, I want to give you something. I want to give you my 31-day devotional. It's called Rich in Christ, and it's not about me, it's about you. Even if you don't know it, you're rich in Christ. I want to give it to you for free. I want to send it to you wherever you are. Doesn't matter where on the planet you're at. I'm going to send it to you, and not only send it to you, but I'm going to send it to you postage paid. I don't have any interest in you donating anything to me. I live one day at a time by the faith of the Son of God, and God provides for us. There's no strings attached. That's why I'm able to say what I have to say here. I'm not bought and paid for. I don't collect the paycheck. Nobody influences anything that comes out of this vessel, temple, branch, except the Spirit of God. He's the only influencer in my life. And if you want a free book or you want free life coaching is $100 an hour up to $300 an hour, and I'll coach anybody for free. Because freely I've received and freely I give. Because that's what Christ in me does. Christ in me does nothing else but freely receive and freely give. Just go to my Facebook page, Rich Novek, N-O-V-E-K, and leave your name and address, and I'll send you a free book. It's not a mini book. It's not an e-book. It's not an e-book. It's a real book, soft cover book, 31 teachings in it, one for each day. And some people have been set free reading that book because I didn't write it. God wrote it. He just used me to put the words down on the paper. Father, I just thank and praise you, God. I thank and praise you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, God, for whoever's listening to this today, because you ordained them, Father, to be here today. Whatever they're struggling with, God, let them know right now that there is no struggle when you release your life to you and rest in your love and get ready to receive the next thing, whatever that is. There's no fear in love, perfect love. The perfect love of Christ in them is casting out fear. Right now, in the name of Jesus, God, I ask that you unstop their ears and open their eyes and let them see, Lord, the reality of Christ in them. Give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, I'll be back here again next week, God willing. I hope you come back. Till then, God bless.